is the Better Life, Better Work show, and I'm your host, Allison Crow. I'm an intuitive life and business coach here to help you create better life and better work. I help super successful people, you know, the recovering overachievers, put the soul back in their lives, and I help soulful people create success. On this show, topics range from the mystic to the logistic, and our content will support your being and your doing while on your path to create better life and better work. More is not better. Better is better. This is episode number 58. Allison Crow here. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your shares and for your reviews. I'd really appreciate a bump in reviews if you've listened to this, especially if you're in America. I have a lot of London reviews and would love some more American reviews. In fact, if you listen from anywhere, it would be fantastic. Today, what I have for you is a combo. I have recorded a meditation for you on remembering. And in order to warm up for recording this podcast episode, I hopped on, you guessed it, a Facebook Live and wanted to kind of flesh out the story of what happened that I took personally and how I forgot over the last couple of years. So it's a very deeply personal and somewhat confusing to me story, although I'm just now getting clarity on it. And so I wanted to share this with you. I wanted to share the story of my most recent forgetting of who I am and what I've learned from that. And then I follow up with a meditation on remembering. I know that we live in a world that is constantly telling us how to be who we are. And even though I study who I am and who I am becoming and who I am in spirit and as a human every single day, there are still moments that my unconscious and my nervous system retreat into a massive safety zone that I call forgetting. And so this is the story of remembering and how a few years ago I forgot. I hope you enjoy. Thanks so much for being a listener of the Better Life, Better Work show. So first of all, I am, if any of you know the Enneagram, I am changing from an Enneagram 7 to an Enneagram 5. I used to be completely subconsciously and consciously driven by the need to be liked and the need to have fun and the need to not feel uncomfortable feelings. And through my journey with Chris Seidel and art and politics recently, in the last 4 years, there is no more depressing down of difficult emotions and feelings. And as I have intentionally grown myself to be capable and able of not outsourcing difficult feelings, blah, da, 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 da. So that's one layer of the journey. And as I'm going through this, so there's a couple things going on simultaneously. One, that's the other thing. There's this little girl named Allison Crow that in third grade, when she went to the Baptist school, and everybody said you were going to hell. You were going to hell if you hadn't been baptized. I hadn't been baptized in second grade or third grade or whatever grade it was. And I knew I wasn't going to hell. I knew from a very young age that I had this relationship with spirit and that hell didn't exist for me or for anybody else. I was being taught at the time, you know, traditional Baptist values and stuff. And I remember them preaching that shit to little kids in chapel. And I was really shy and timid as a little kid. Y'all might not believe that, but I was really shy and timid. And I went to this big, scary man who, he was this real tall, scary old man. I was terrified of him. And he was the one always saying, we're going to hell. And I asked if I could pray. I said, can I pray? Can I please say the prayer at chapel? And he said yes. And so it's so cute. Nobody told me this. No adult told me this. But as a little second or third grader, I remember praying, like creating a prayer and writing this prayer in my mind and practicing it over and over and over again that that all people needed to do to go to heaven, like that we all remembered that it was about love, that we all remembered that it was about relationship with spirit, relationship with ourselves, and relationship with others. So from a very early age, I had this sense of justice and no shame, blame, and guilt, no bullshit. And so this little, and my name, Allison, means truth. And for a long time, before I knew it meant truth, I thought it meant justice. Hi, Leslie. And so some of this background stuff, right? Some of it is deep core wounds. Some of it is long time passion and inner drive. So also, as I get older and I start paying attention, I am not only concerned with myself, clearly I'm very concerned with myself, but I'm also concerned with my community, both locally and globally. And so politics, I started paying attention to politics and civics and government. And as my sister says, she sifted away from the Republican Party. When you have marginalized people in your family, it wakes you up to a whole new something, something, something. And then, honestly, Donald Trump becoming president knocked the rug out from under me and allowed me to feel amazing, difficult feelings. And just training myself, all this other stuff. But a big thing to me, as has always been when I was a little kid, is this sense of fairness and justice. And so, especially racial justice and, you know, but here's the other thing. So with this sense of justice, I also wanted to do it right. I wanted to do it right. And a few years ago on social media, so y'all know I've been doing social media since 2008, started building my business online and social media since 2010. I've taught classes, Share Your Heart, Show Your Work, that are just like about the way that I love this medium. And at some point in some of the circles online, there became this new thing about the spiritual white woman and how fucked up she was. And how spiritual white women needed to give their voice to women of color, their platforms to women of color. I saw various spiritual leaders and mentors of mine get ripped a new one on social media. I saw entire conversations. I participated in conversations. I was watching a lot of these social justice conversations. My sister is very involved in it. And, you know, there's a book out there called Becky about white women and how we are so fucked up and we're doing it all wrong. And I am in no way denying that we have got some racial tensions in our nation, that we as white people, we have done a lot of fucked up shit in America from the time of the beginning. We are not without blame. And being a woman in the South, I remember having this mentor, and my mentor has lived in Oakland for 20 years. And the Oakland community environment is very different from Texas. And I remember learning about my white privilege in 2013. And so I'm a kindergartner in trying to pay attention and be aware. And yet I still was running this, I want to do it right energy, because I was afraid, because I was centering myself, because I was afraid. And so I'm seeing all this stuff go, like, literally at the height of my voice. I'm seeing all these things happen online, and I'm seeing people, you know, Danielle Laporte put out some marketing and she created some art, and it was called Go Lighter, and it had a black man on it. And there were all these, you know, all these ways that it was wrong. And, you know, I literally saw someone on her post say, step aside, you would be better if you actually used your platform to share with women of color. That was the mildest. There were whole communities online. There was Layla Syed did this thing about spiritual white woman. And when she wrote that post about spiritual white woman, I believed it. And today I'm calling bullshit on it. because I was a kindergartner and taking things personally, I took it personally. And I'm at the point now where I have spent, if not, I don't know, more than 2 years I'm not so deep in it now, but a couple years ago, I remember talking privately with some of my women of color friends and really exploring things and having lots of conversations offline, because I don't feel like online it's helpful to fight and argue and bitch at people. But when I saw that and began to follow some of that stuff, like something in me shrunk. Something in me believed the shame, blame, and guilt. And now listen, I am, like I said, I am not denying that as a society, we have done a lot of shit. There are a lot of problems. But me, well, so what I did, I didn't even realize I did it. It's kind of like it showed up as, oh, I was tired. I don't feel like doing this anymore. Those were the conscious thoughts, but the subconscious was, I'm doing it wrong. I don't have a right to use my voice. And I certainly don't have a right to use my voice as a spiritual white woman. And a couple of years ago, I actually did a post, a political post. I don't do a lot of those. I did a political post. And a colleague of mine, who is a gay man, actually said, you sound like a typical white spiritual woman. And what was so funny was he clearly hadn't read my post that I do consider myself an imperfect ally for marginalized people. That he hadn't read my post. He hadn't completed reading it. And he and I got in this thing. I finally deleted it and blocked him. And then he found some other way to email me and tell me that he was wrong and that he was just so angry and hurt. And I get that a lot of people are angry and hurt. And I was confused because as a facilitator professionally, I have been trained how to help people see new concepts. And using shame, blame, and guilt, even where it's possibly due, is ineffective. But all this, I can remember where I was sitting. It was a December 6th, 2016. This is how emotionally deep it hit me. And I was staying at my mom and dad's house, who both voted for Trump. I was fucking confused by that, still am. I've had way too many fights with my family about that and have just had to call a truce. It's taken us a year to enact the truth because nervous systems were so inflamed. But I remember sitting in my old bedroom, the bedroom I grew up in, and it was an evening time, and I texted Varian Brandon, and I said, I need a coaching session right now. And we call it phone a friend. And I had a long conversation with her that was the beginning of me remembering my own voice instead of buying somebody else's fucking voice for me. And I don't know about you, but I have spent a lifetime buying somebody else's fucking voice for me. I'm learning a little bit about human design, and I have open head and open Anja centers, and I have a closed throat center, or defined. It's not, open and defined. So my open head centers make me a really good coach. They make me able to read your thoughts, but I can also take on other people's thoughts. My defined throat center allows me to be expressive very clearly. And so I'm new to all that, but it's part of the journey of making sense. And I sat there on that bed and talked to Varian and just cried because I didn't want to do it wrong. I don't want to hurt my people of color friends. I don't want to hurt my gay friends. I don't want to hurt my disabled niece. I don't want to hurt my trans friends. And I am so glad that things are tumbling right now. We're really rumbling. We're really rumbling, and I think the rumble is good. It's not that none of this was here before. It was just underground, and I didn't see it. And so I'm thankful for the rumble. I started to believe the, quote, experts just because I was consuming their stuff instead of taking in with curiosity what they had to say about the right way to do social justice or the right way to be a white spiritual woman, which I fucking am. what other paradigm am I supposed to have? I can be curious and learn about other people, but Jesus, I am a white spiritual woman. Go fuck yourself if you want me to be a gay black man. Now, I can listen and comprehend and commune with a gay black man or a straight black woman or a gay black person. You know, I can be compassionate, but of course I have the paradigm of a spiritual white woman, and not all of our paradigms are wrong. And so I was really thankful for my woman of color friend that reminded me of that fact. She was like, she and Tracy Lee were both like, what are you supposed to be, a black? You're not a black woman. Why are you going to have a black woman viewpoint? No shit. Thank you. And it was just like this little snap that I needed to see. But at that time, 2 years ago, the wound, I had allowed my mind to believe it. And it was a self-inflicted wound. Varian Brandon says in her course, Be Unoffendable, you guys hunt her down, get her to do another one. You take that Be Unoffendable class over and over and over and over again. But the very first thing she says when she teaches it is she said, being offended is a self-inflicted wound. And I spent about a year before my realization believing that I was offended and inflicting wounds on myself, especially as a spiritual white woman. And what happened subconsciously and manifested on the outside became an over obsession with business building, because it wasn't safe for me to be, I made up that it wasn't safe for me to be a spiritual white woman on social media, on my platform, in my voice, in my writing, on my social media, that it was only safe for me to talk about how to be a million-dollar coach, how to be a business person. And so I grabbed my zone of comfort and my zone of excellence, and I abandoned my zone of genius. I notice the thoughts right now, like even of like, am I saying this all wrong? You know what? I'm saying it the way I'm saying it. I'm saying it the way I say it. And in the same way that I took somebody else's opinion or view of the world or the way a white woman should live and be, personally, I am not responsible for how any of my viewers or listeners take shit. Do your own fucking work. And I'm still doing my own fucking work. And yes, I am. Exactly. Susan, thank you. I know, and in no way denying massive injustice, patriarchism, whatever. My husband is really, it's not my story to tell, but my husband is a really nice, open-minded, loving man. He can be a bit crunchy on the outside at times, but he is like, there is no space for a white man's voice right now. And so I don't want to be what I found actually in this whole social, just that was the vehicle that helped me see this. But my sister said, yeah, I'm in two groups for this social justice stuff. And one is burning down the bridge and the other one is building a bridge. And at that moment, it helped me see I did not want to be a part of the burning down the fucking bridges of people. I don't want to burn down the bridges for anybody. I want to build bridges. And so that was helpful. That was 2 years ago. Right. And so I'm having these insights a couple years ago, but I still deep inside was terrified. I was terrified. And so my business, my expression became so much about business and business growth. It's something people ask me all the time. And recently, I've had a couple other dots show up in my life. So number one, I had this fun experiment that I did in January. So I used to teach a lot of prosperity and abundance courses and all these other things. And in January, I decided to do an experiment with not focusing on prosperity and abundance, just doing my money thing, just, you know, bookkeeping, doing profit first, but not doing the mindset work around money. I did it for 6 months. I do not recommend it. Experiment, successful in the sense that, no, I like to do money mindset work. And I listened to this girl, Megan Hale. She has a podcast called Wild and Holy. And as I was listening to her, so Megan is quite a bit younger than me. And as I was listening to her, I was reminded of me. I was reminded of some of the purest and most holy, true, remembered spirit parts of me. And so I would listen more and listen more and listen more and listen more. And meanwhile, I'm beginning to dive into the way of mastery and Christ consciousness, not religion consciousness, but Christ consciousness. Mm-hmm. And I am paying attention to, a year ago at this time, I started following and studying Matt Kahn and reading his books. And I read his books. A lot of times I'll listen to his books as I'm falling asleep, and More Love, Not Less. And then as I'm listening to Matt Kahn and his current speaking, he is not taking spirituality out of the world. And somewhere in there, I believe this story that spirituality and my spirituality and expressing it would kind of put me in this bubble and take my feet off the ground. And I realize that my spirituality is actually how I move my feet on the ground. If I want to be a boots on the ground, my actions and behaviors in alignment with my spirit, then I have to develop my spirituality with my feet earthed and grounded in real life. I have to be willing to offend people. I have to be, it's so funny. Me and my team did a Facebook post yesterday on resistance, and we showed a picture of one of my clients from Camp Starheart holding the fuck pillow. Do you know how many people unfriended me from that? And people I know unfriended me from that. And I get it. It's totally fine. It's totally okay. But I think it's funny. It's like, I've got to stop filtering myself just to please you guys. I told myself for some reason that my business wasn't safe if I talked about my spirituality or if I attempted to talk about social justice or politics in my way. And so I've had to apologize to myself for abandoning myself. A couple of weeks ago, I pulled out my iPad, and many of you know that 2 years ago I was painting nonstop, and my painting has stopped. I got into creativity, but my creativity all was around building my business. And so I decided to, instead of pulling out all my paints, I actually gave away my entire studio to my sweet little niece. And so I pulled out my iPad, and I was gonna start just doodling on my iPad again as a warm up. And I came across a thing that said 2013 vision. And one of the reasons that I left Keller Williams when I left Keller Williams was because I wanted to do spiritual thinking, emotional thought work, spiritual thought work. I had no intention of coaching business when I left Keller Williams. I wanted to write about my sacred self. I wanted to write about the re-enchantment of everyday life. I wanted to write about living a human life as a spiritual being. And I had all these, beautiful doodles and visions that I had done about that. And as I was looking at my iPad, I said, when did I let this go? And gently over the past few weeks, I'm starting to see the dots and the lessons and the stories come together. And, I've been real gentle with myself. And I am reawakening up. I'm reawakening up, and I am encouraging any of you who accidentally take on the world's views, a partner's views, your colleagues' views, I am encouraging you to really check in with your being. And one of the things I love, shout out to Sari Wild, who helped me see this. Oh my gosh. And I have another girl right now. I cannot think of her name and I know her. That's so silly, but another friend of mine. I'm so sorry that I'm having a blank on your name, right? Carrie Kennedy. Carrie Kennedy also helped me with this with human design. And it was fascinating to learn a possible new layer about me. And when you have an open, my human design type, when you have these open crown and Anja centers and you hear and see and think all the thoughts of the world, and they can either serve you or not serve you. And so in the same way that I am brilliant and can think like a motherfucker, I also can accidentally believe other motherfucker stuff. And so one of the things we're supposed to do is bring that down into our defined centers. And one of my really defined centers is my sacral center. So this is the second chakra, not surprising, the area where I had cancer when I was 28. And so here's what's crazy. My cancer at 28, I was able to have everything surgically removed and was fine after that. But the fear of that and the fear of not having kids, something I had never heard these terms before. I was a kindergarten teacher at a Catholic school who brought my computer and stole the, I shared a dial-up line with my principal. Nobody else used computers at that school. And I brought my computer to school and I heard an inner knowing voice that said, Yahoo search, there was no Google at the time, Yahoo search second chakra. And studying the chakras opened my eyes to a whole new way and world of spirituality. And I started unraveling. I started reading more. I remember one of my pastors said, don't you believe the Bible is the word of God? And I said, no. And he was shocked and said, why? And I said, because I kept reading. And that was part of the beginning of this spiritual broadening, this expanding my range, expanding my love for humanity, my knowing, my inner knowing. And so what's so funny is part of this is like taking all this stuff. And so often I would take things into my head. I took those posts about being the white savior asshole. And I let them stay in my head and I planted them in my heart without dropping them down to my creative center to see if they were in alignment with me. And so I am learning everything I take, everything I think, everything I intuit to check in and see if it's really mine. Is it really true for me? I am remembering who I am. And I didn't expect all this to come out today. I am remembering what's really important to me. I am remembering. It's so funny. Y'all, okay, Marianne Williamson is running for president. She's not my choice, but I love that she's running for president. And it's so funny to be watching her online and see how the world reacts to some of her views. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm looking at it with this intellectual brain instead of my spiritual brain. And I'm like, well, I believe a lot of things she believes. People will think I'm crazy too. And I started doubting again. And I was like, no, I believe crazy things. That's it. I believe crazy things. I am in the coaching world. And you know what? You're right. Coaching is a entitled industry. Having a coach is not one of your Maslow's hierarchy of needs in the, it is not a survival thing. I am fucking in a luxury world. I'm in a privilege world. And it is. And I will use my privilege to share my message of you learning and trusting yourself. So, I really, the point of this was to share that story of how I bought into this what was true for these other people. And because they got so many follows, and because, you know, because all these people believed it, and because Deidre, I want you to go back and watch this, and I'm so curious to hear. Deidre came to Camp Starheart, and she and Varian were so gracious with us spiritual white women in just having a conversation. That year at Camp Starheart was just really difficult for me. And I bought into stories that were true for other people, but they didn't have to be true for me. And I quit talking. I quit expressing because I was afraid of doing it wrong. And I can't do it right and I can't do it wrong. And neither can you. I love, my friend Sarah Christensen has, she does kick-ass masterminds, and one of her rules is don't be a dick. Right. And so that's a pretty easy one to follow. And so, I am about to record this meditation. I don't have it written. I will draw it up, but my meditation that I'm going to record, and this is the preamble to it. So I am going to go ahead and take this audio and put it on the podcast intro. Maybe I'll just do the meditation here and this will be the whole intro. But it was important for me to tell the truth to you guys and tell the truth to myself. I had to tell the truth to myself. Oh, why I quit, why I shut off the spiritual white woman part of me was because I believed a story that women of color couldn't exist along with my voice. And what I know is that the women of color and the men of color and the white men and the disabled voices and the trans voices and the gay voices, we can all, I can use my voice to help that. I can use my voice. I can use my platform to have important conversations and not shame, blame, and guilt. I can use my platform to facilitate a conversation. I will be an imperfect ally. And I can be all of Alison Crowe as a spiritual white woman and not be a fucking Becky. And I feel so sorry for the women that are called Beck or that are named Rebecca. That's just mean. That's just mean. I know we've done some shit wrong, but meanness doesn't help heal the meanness that we as white people have done. And so I got scared for a few years there, guys. I didn't want to do it wrong. And now I'm going to, I tell my clients all the time, y'all remember Phoebe running on Friends, and Phoebe would run with her arms flailing. And that's kind of how I prefer to move through the world. We all know that I'm not a perfectionist. We all know that I have way too many typos, that I'm a little sloppy, but my heart is gold and my heart is light and blithe. And I want to run through the world with a giggle and a smile and flailing my arms and legs and holding the hearts of as many people as I can. And not in spiritual bypassing, but in compassion, in love, in taking this journey together. And so I felt like it was important to tell you the truth. You would never have known, but I got scared and I let myself, I silenced my own voice. And I am remembering. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and go into, thank you for connecting with me. And thank you, podcast listeners, for understanding that I really just enjoy seeing the names and the faces of the people that show up online. Susan, I'm going to come back and read later. Jane is here and Christy is here. And so many of you are here on the live stream. And so you're getting a shout out on the podcast right now. I do better connected. I don't do well in isolation in my podcast booth. And so with that, I'm going to drop in and ask Spirit to give us all words of loving comfort in remembering who we are. Taking a moment to allow your feet to hit the ground if you can, and connecting to Mama Earth. Even if you're connecting to Mama Earth through some polyester carpet like I am, beginning to slow your breath allowing the magic of the inhale of oxygen and the exhale of carbon dioxide to begin to soothe your nervous system. Remembering and acknowledging that we live in a state of over-inflamed nervous systems. We have so much stimulation. And so just sending in your mind's eye the energy of compassion to your overstimulated nervous system. And I love that sweet little Rocky Potato, my most recent rescue dog, is on the floor beside me snoring. And this morning, as I was in my bed and came back from feeding the dogs that wake up early, Rocky had somehow laid his head on my pillow. And so I laid my head next to his. And while I've never had my own babies, I heard my little baby dog's breath in and out. A little rough because of his short nose, but I heard his breath in and out. And it was the sweetest, tender reminder of life. And yet, we can breathe in and out without remembering. And so today, for myself and for anybody watching or listening, I call on the divine energy of remembering. Remembering who we are, who we were before we got lost in the bullshit of the world. And we know that as spiritual beings having a human experience, we are not here to escape the human experience. We are here to integrate the human experience with our spiritual being and in the spiritual realms. Those two dance together. They are not separate from each other. And today I am reclaiming and asking if you feel called to reclaim your remembering. Reclaim your commitment to not escape humanity, but also to not escape or deny your spirituality, but to do this human and difficult and challenging dance of both discomfort and exquisite freedom as a spiritual being, with not only your mind open, but your heart open. Remembering that we are resilient. Remembering that we are both unbecoming what the world taught us to be, and we are becoming beings who live and we live an integrated life. As Matt Kahn says, we learn how to anchor the light so that we can go into the darkness. I don't have to give my light. I just anchor my light and it penetrates the darkness. Breathing again and remembering that we have been given these miraculous bodies, this miraculous nervous system that at one time it was required to protect us from being hunted. And now the power of my nervous system and awareness of whether I am overstimulated and in fight or flight, or whether I am in the relaxation response. And as I wrote yesterday on Instagram, my relaxation response is not for massages and baths and self-care on the fucking beach. But my relaxation response, my centered being, is so that I can make beautiful change in a difficult world. Taking a moment now to give thanks giving a thanks to Spirit for never letting me go, even when I deny myself, even when I deny my own truth. Spirit never demands anything of us. It simply invites. Taking a breath and remembering that I am able, remembering that I am free, remembering that I can be effective even in difficult conversations, that I can use my voice and my actions to not just be love and light, but to be fierce, radical change. I am asking Spirit to help me because I still feel pretty dumb, but I am willing to keep learning. I am willing to keep having difficult conversations, and I am willing to get to know my body and my nervous system so that when I get scared, I am reminded to drop in instead of run. I ask for forgiveness. I cannot tell you how many times I have flipped the fucking bird off at the TV, at the news, at somebody driving by me in the car. Spirit, help me channel my aggression wisely. Help me channel my anger, my hurt, my confusion. If I am angry and hurt and confused, so must my brother or sister also be. Help me be a listener. Help me remember how to listen with wise, loving ears. Help me remember how to tap into my intuition and divine guidance. Help me to remember how to trust my body's signals that often show up before my mind's. Help me to trust my mind. Help me to remember my practices that strengthen this side of my being. Help me to remember that I am safe. Even if I were physically or violently threatened, I am still safe. Help me to remember to keep my heart open. Help me to remember to use my power. Help me to remember to create. Help me to remember to ground and root. To be in the moment of now, and now, and now, and now, listening. Now I know what it means, as I was taught as a little Baptist kid, what Paul meant when he said, pray without ceasing. It's not about being on my knees in my closet, but it's about being connected at all times and listening, a constant ping. Help me remember to turn on my signal and co-create with you. Helping me to remember to stay off my high horse and put my feet on the ground with humanity. Just breathing in recognition. I had a sweet text from a friend today who got in a rile on Twitter and shared with me the thing that disgusted him on Twitter he realized was in him. And I confess that everything I hate about what's going on in the world, in our society, in our politics, in our humanity, is also in me. That that the same judgment and criticism and war that is going on outside of me also exist inside of me. I acknowledge my light and my shadow. And right now I agree to meet my shadow with compassion and curiosity. I lay down my weapons of war and learn to fight a different way. I fight with my vote. I fight with my voice. I fight with who I be. I fight with curiosity and compassion and fierceness. I fight with more love, not less. Taking a moment to breathe all that in. And if you're watching or listening, check into your own inner wisdom. Hear your own guidance system. Listen to what he or she or they have for you, and knowing that you can trust that divine wisdom. Remembering that we can trust ourselves. Taking a nice big breath in. Thank you for spending time with me, for hearing a part of my story today. I am the other you. Hey, I made something for you. Over at AllisonCrow.com, you can get my new and updated booklet called Finding Your Feel Good for people who want soulful success. Simple tools and practices for finding your feel good in an overwhelming world. It's short, it's quick, and it's powerful, and I know you'll love it. AllisonCrow.com is where you can find it. As always, thanks for listening. I totally appreciate you thinking about somebody who might really love this episode and you sharing it with them. Also, I always appreciate your reviews. It's like podcast currency. It's like a tip in the jar saying thanks. And finally, if you want to share on social media a screenshot or any insights you get from listening to this episode, I will totally respond. You can share with the hashtag Better Life, Better Work Show. This show is sponsored by my three rescued dogs, Leroy Brown, Clementine, and Rocky Potato. They're here to remind you to consider adoption when you get your next pet. More is not better. Better is better.